Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Hey everyone, I'm Greg.
I'm Ash.
We're Pursuit of the Paranormal, which you'll probably know because you're listening to our podcast. But there are several ways that you could support the show. You can visit our merchandise store, where we've got loads of clothing and other bits and bobs there for you.
And we also have launched our Buy Me a Coffee campaign.
Tell me a little bit more about that, Ash.
Yes, yeah, so you can support the show with a one-off donation. Or you can also join our membership scheme, which gives you different benefits, including shout-outs on the show, discount on the merchandise store, early access to episodes, bonus episodes, all of these different levels of membership. It just helps us carry on doing what we're doing.
So you can visit all these places and more at our linktree.com/pursuit of the paranormal. So thanks for joining us, Jesse. It's nice to meet you. As I was talking to you just off air, that TikTok's new for us. And before we get into sort of you and how you got to where you are today, I was fascinated by the fact that we've just been on TikTok for about a month, roughly. We're getting a couple of followers every few hours or so, quite small numbers. And then I was scrolling through on lives. I don't know what I was doing. And I came across your live broadcast on TikTok. So you're the Paranormal Emporium on TikTok. And I was just fascinated by the openness, the brutal honesty that hooked me straight away. Because we were talking, I put something on there and asked you about coming on the podcast straight away. Because I was that taken with you. And then you talked about paranormal groups and how...
Yeah.
And then we mentioned the word toxic. That was one thing that it is toxic. But how did you get onto TikTok? What's that all about?
TikTok come at a weird place in my life, in all fairness. I don't know where TikTok come from, but it certainly changed my life, that's for sure. I was on Facebook and on the usual social medias for years. I've been going for about 12 years. And I was going for a particularly messy breakup. Probably just over about a year ago, and my sister actually said, Jesse, get yourself on TikTok. I was in my crappy little flat after my breakup. She said, get yourself on TikTok, it's a great boredom killer in between clients. And I went, all right. And TikTok, it changed my life. I remember I was pinned to the top of my page on TikTok, but I was putting up dancing TikToks and you know, all the rest of it, just messing around. And I remember the first ever TikTok that done well, I said my experience. I didn't think my experiences as a psychic, and I didn't think anyone would be interested. And I remember putting the TikTok up just before bed, laying in my bed, going to sleep, waking up to something like 60,000 followers overnight, and booked out wow. 4 months in advance on my calendar, my booking system. I was like, this ain't real. what's happened? This has got to be a fault. This has got to be what's going on. But since then, it's just been a bit crazy. Like, I can't seem to do any wrong on TikTok. Once you learn the science of it, it works massively in your favour. But, I mean, I use TikTok because I think we touched on the fact that the paranormal community at the moment is just toxic, isn't it? It's just a load of bollocks. People just have a go psychics, as I call them, mm-hmm. you know, just pretending to know what they're talking about. And if you don't say the same as them, they're like a bloody lynch mob. And it's just a case of, oh, do you know what I feel sorry for more so than anything else? As a genuine psychic, I feel sorry for the people who come to psychics, and I feel sorry for the spirits, because the platform, the industry out there at the moment, it just doesn't suit either of them. It just doesn't suit the spirits. You've got spirits coming to try and talk to their loved ones in this plane that, you know, their loved ones are going to Billy Bullshitter down the road, who's asked for a PayPal donation, yeah. pretending to perform miracles for them. And then you've got loved ones who are desperate to talk to their relatives in the afterlife, getting, you know, dickheads pretending. And it's just like, what's going on? So I've used, but first and foremost, I use TikTok as just a platform to have a fuck around, to be honest. Yeah. You know, put my version of the paranormal out, the real version, put my version of the paranormal and the psychic ability out there and see what's going on. And now I use it because I sit there and think, well, actually, I've got the knowledge. I know what happens in the afterlife. I know what happens with spirits. I know how the psychic ability works. These poor bastards out there don't. And I just use my platform now to say, actually, do you know what? If you think about it a bit logically, if you sit there and go, do you know what? You know, you're probably not going to be able to find a psychic who can talk to your Alsatian and bark at you for half an hour. You know, you're probably not going to, you know, all the rest of it. It's just, if you apply logic to the afterlife and the spiritual world, it makes sense. And because there's so many, I mean, about 99% of the paranormal industry is just people just bullshitting, just making the most ludicrous stuff up. So now I use it as a bit of both, a bit of sort of like advertising, you know, this is me, this is what I can do, this is what I have done. And a lot of, actually, guys, you know, this is actually how it works. Use this knowledge how you want to use it, because I think it's going to save you a lot of grief, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and the particular live that I watched was you reeling off a load of questions. People are firing questions at you. I've never seen anybody go through so many questions in such a short space of time like you did. And that was another reason that you had me hooked as well, because you were just open, completely just discarding some people's questions that were clearly where they were, they'd spoken to people that were rubbish. So yeah, this, it, you had me hooked straight away. So the question you probably get asked all the time is, how did you know that you had this ability?
See, this is the thing. I say a new relationship. I've been with my partner for the best part of a year now, and she was the one who opened my eyes massively to my approach to this, because I get asked a lot of questions, as you can imagine, and to me it's the most obvious answer in the world. So I'll sit there and I'll be quite short. I've got not much patience for people. So I'll be like, what are you fucking talking about? You know, this, that, and the other. And she said to me, this blind insane, she goes, Jesse, this is your way of life. This is your normal. It's not ours. And you've got to explain it to people. So, I mean, when people ask me, I was like, well, how do I know a psychic? I was talking to dead people. You know, how could you not know you're psychic? You know, there were spirits coming to me. But I think the answer that, you know, because it isn't normal to most people, the answer I think everyone's looking for is because I've always known that I'm psychic. I've never known a life without being psychic. I don't know what you guys experience, which is, you know, a bit of an eye-opener that my missus told me or said to me, you know, I don't know what you guys experienced of not having this ability. So I've always known it. I think coming to terms with it in my teenage years was relatively straightforward. I think I was a bit sort of reclusive, and I just sort of talked to spirits day in, day out, and they done most of the work for me. I wish I could say that I put a load of graft in and you know you know, worked my ass off. But I mean, when you're psychic, the answers get given to you by either dead people or tarot cards. It's just one of those things where I just tell you guys what they say. Really easy.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you talk to like anybody else about it when you were a teenager and younger? Is that something that you could talk about to your friends or family?
Yeah, so probably from about the age of about 15. That's when, you know, before that I was a little shit. You know, I grew up in Clacton-on-Sea. My prospects weren't great. I grew up in a council estate, you know, that kind of thing. And I think I was just a bit preoccupied with doing little shit antics, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it was just a normal thing. I think it took many years. Looking back, I must have come out with certain things that people have gone, what, you know, also raised questions. But I didn't really vocalize it because I was a child. And then when I come to, it was the first, I remember this moment and I'll remember it for the rest of my life. I trained as a hairdresser when I was about 15 years old. I was in college because I got kicked out of school, and the only college course I could go on was a hairdressing course. And I thought, quids in, lovely, room full of women, brilliant. I was 15 years old. You can imagine what I was thinking with. And I actually become a hairdresser very, very briefly. I was explaining a spiritual encounter like it was the most normalist thing in the world to my boss at the time, and I remember the look he gave me. He was like, what? And I was just like, oh yeah, you know, I was just in my room and this guy come in, probably he just told me he's double, and he went, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, well, does this not happen? He was like, Jesse, that's a psychic ability. That's, you're talking to dead people. And I was like, yeah, doesn't everyone? is this not a thing? And he was like, no. And it was the first time I had a little bit of a concept of, actually, this isn't normal. This isn't what everyone experiences. I think quite a few people experience it, but not everyone. So it was about that time that I started to, got a very addictive personality. And once I realized what I was doing, I realized that there's this whole world out there, you know, out of the, you know, the realms of spirits coming to me in my bedroom or in the garden when I'm playing ball or whatever, you know. I was like, I need to know everything. I threw myself into paranormal investigation. I stopped. I didn't stop, but I actively went looking for spirits, whereas my entire childhood, they just come to me. I was just like, lovely, all right, nice. But I was like, oh, hang on a second. No, I can go there. And it was, and I just threw myself into it. And it's been that way ever since.
So you, what I found interesting on your website, was reading about a bit about you, is you have a PhD in power psychology. And you say that it's, you're only psychic to have this PhD. So how did that come about, and what work did you have to do to get that?
See, this is the thing. I'm not entirely sure if I'm the only psychic nowadays. I think it's fairly common once people know it now. But I know certainly overseas people have it. But a lot of my research, I made the fatal mistake of a lot of my research was either from spirits or from online. And there was this company over in America that offered like an online PhD, and it took many years, in all fairness, and it cost quite a bit of money. So I was like, okay, all right, I need to know everything, because I'm one of these people where I can't be wrong. It might be the Leo in me, but I don't like being wrong. I really don't like being wrong. And I'll never go into an argument unarmed or feeling like there's a chance that I could be wrong. So when it comes to the psychic ability, I want to be the best. I want to be the best out there. So I've done everything in my power, including that PhD from the States, to make sure I knew every crevice of the psychic ability, the spiritual world, the paranormal universe. I mean, parapsychology covers quite a lot. It covers, you know, not just the spiritual side of things. It covers a little bit of the UFOs and that kind of thing. I must admit, not really my area of expertise, the UFOs, but it's something I have a basic knowledge about.
Cool. So just going back a little bit, how, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm nearly 28. So I'm 27. Nearly 28.
Just a youngster. So you've sort of grown up, and there's been programs on TV a bit like, well, I'm old enough to remember like the first series of Most Haunted, all those kind of programs. So you've probably grown up with people like Ghost Adventures, that kind of more current. What is your take on that kind of thing?
I'll be honest with you, I don't watch a single thing. I don't watch any of them. And that's the God's honest truth. It's not a bit of me. Mainly because I think there was a bit... I was raised in a devout Christian household. You know, my mum was massively, massively religious. So it definitely wasn't programming that we was allowed to watch as a child. Further on from that, when I did start getting like looking at it and looking at programs, I remember going, well, that's not right, that's not real, that's not how it happens, that's not... And it used to just be irritating more than anything else, just incredibly irritating. And now I just sort of, I don't think I've watched a paranormal show in a long time.
So you say that you had, it's quite a spiritual family. So you were church, did you used to go to church all the time or...?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So it was a massive part of sort of my psychic development, I guess. The fact that my mum is devout and to this day, you know, devout Christian, and although she believes in what I do and the afterlife, she's got a very different opinion of what it actually is, you know, to what I do. So I was dragged to church every Sunday, you know, out of respect for her. I'll still go to midnight mass as a little nod to my mum. You know, she's very understanding, and I think I'm not quite so understanding when it comes to her faith. So I'm like, every Christmas midnight mass, I'll go to church. I'll sit in a church for an hour. It's the least I could do for my mum. But I mean, growing up there, it was one of the questions that I asked. And I remember for many, many years asking spirits, well, where's God? Where's Jesus? Have you met him? Have you gone to heaven? Is this, what's there? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So I thought, oh, it's just not them. Maybe they've not made it, you know, all the rest of it. And then I come to the realization, hang on a second. I've been through every plane. I've talked to thousands of spirits at this point. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And it was a bit of a moment where I went, oh, fuck. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. And then I was like, okay, well, it kind of gave me an answer, because it closed the door, because I stopped wasting my time trying to look for a heaven and all the rest of it. And I was like, well, what is it? And then I I looked at what I was doing. I spoke to spirits and I was like, well, there's planes, Jesse. There's planes. You go up, you go down. I think that's where they've got the concept of heaven and hell. But you go up, you go down, you move around, but there's no Jesus, there's no God. I mean, there's no, and I've looked for every plane and I've been doing it for 27, nearly 28 years. I haven't come across it once. So
so what is it? What is the afterlife, in your opinion?
I hate that saying, in my opinion. It's like, it's what
I'd have to take your opinion.
Sure. So it goes down to, I mean, when I go into a psychic state, it's kind of like, it sounds so hippie, but you're kind of detaching from your body, but from a psychological point of view. So you can feel, experience, you know, taste, feel everything from your body where it is, but you're a million miles away from it. And you've got these planes and you can go through them, and every plane, the only way I can describe it is going through like a smoky bubble. It's kind of like when you go from the plane above, or the, you know, from plane to plane, you go through this sort of like hazy, and then there's like a pop, and then, you know, you're into another plane. There's a complete new set of people, a new environment, new surroundings, et cetera, et cetera. You're like, okay, right. And you can feel it. And then the more higher you go, the more nicer the people tend to be. And the more lower you go, the more dickheads there tends to be, you know, and you just sit there go, oh, okay, it makes sense now, that kind of thing. And then if you talk to other spirits, you'll hear them say, oh, you don't want to go down a plane, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that. So it's one of those things. You go from there. So that's what is there. That is in every psychic's opinion, rather than just mine.
Okay, no, that's cool. So when someone passes over, what's the first thing that happens
for them? Depends. Yeah, sure. So it depends, like the way you pass has a little bit of an effect on that, from my understanding. Often I'll get a spirit come and seek me out from, you know, someone who's just been a road traffic accident, or, you know, like a surprise death, if that makes sense, a sudden death, you know, that kind of thing. They're in shock, I think, more so than anything else. There's an element of panic there. A massive part of a psychic's job is to sit there and go, hang on, look, I'm still living, it's all right, you're not going crazy, blah, blah, blah. You just, this is what's happened, you died, it's all right. You know, people who have been ill for a certain amount of time, they'll come through and, you know, they detach quite easily. It's almost like a transition, a fluid transition. They'll just go straight into the other plane, you know, like, oh, okay, finally, that's over. So it's almost a sense of relief for them, almost, you know. Instead of going, oh, okay, and they're prepared for it. So it completely varies, but I think it's more of a case of, because there's three elements of the body, the mind, body and soul, you know, and it's your soul detaching from your mind and body, but your body's massively part of your mind anyway, because your brain makes up your mind, and that stops working because that's going into the ground or into the furnace, but your soul carries on and that's in another plane. So it's what happens when someone dies is that there's just sort of like a detachment, but it's so quick and so insignificant, you know. Like, you'll often on a reading, I'll get someone come from, oh, did they know that were they in pain, this, that, and the other, and you'll talk to the spirit, you know, on their energy, and I'm like, no, didn't even notice. It's such an insignificant thing. Like, it's like turning off a light switch, happens so quickly, it's just gone, job done.
So I it's something that I've seen you've covered about relatives. So relatives who have passed, do they come and welcome you when it's your time? The reason I ask that is my grandfather, before he passed, or in the weeks leading up to his death, he was ill for a long time. It wasn't a shock, it was something that we knew was coming. He was old, and he was seen conversing with somebody in the room, or people in the room. And I know, when I've seen other stories, listened to other podcast programs, that nurses mention the fact that these people who know that they're about to pass, they have conversations with people who are not visible, for want of a better phrase. Is that something that happens?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing that I always try and get through to people is spirits are still people. You know, people seem to think they've become some kind of mechanical, you know, miracle thing. They're still people. They still love you. They still, you know, that part of them doesn't go. The only thing that changes when someone dies is the body stops working. that's it, you know, and the chances are they'll probably get a new body if they return to this plane, you know, all that kind of thing. So yeah, they absolutely do. Would, like, why wouldn't they? They're probably around you waiting, sending healing when you're ill, all that kind of stuff. It's completely subjective to the spirit. You know, and I get asked the question, what if I didn't get along with my family, you know, often. And you just sit there and go, you know, people are freaking out like, oh, I didn't get along with my dad. What if he's saying? You sit there and go, well, there's free will. If your dad thinks you're a bit of a prick, he's probably not going to be sat there waiting. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things. He's probably out doing other things. What, because he's dead, money doesn't exist, you know, distance doesn't exist. He's not restricted. He's probably doing whatever he wants to do, probably not waiting for you. But, you know, on the other hand, if you don't want to speak to them when you become a spirit, you know, if they are waiting for you, your chances are, I mean, in my experience with every spirit I've ever spoke to about this, they kiss and make up. They've got an eternity together. You know, it's one of those things. You're not going to sit there and go, oh, fucking hell, you stole five wrapped your purse when you're 15. Let's carry that one into the afterlife. You know, you're probably going to crack on, have a cuddle, have a kiss and crack on and do what you need to do. But it is subjective, depending on the spirit. And it is also, you know, there's free will. And people, like, this is what I mean, logic, when it comes into it. You know, if you don't like your dad, don't talk to your dad. If you don't like your granddad, if you never had a relationship, move on from it. You've got a whole world around you. You know, you've got all this around you. Do what you need to do. You're not forced to live together. You're not forced into it. It's just bizarre the way people's mind works about, well, I say that, I shouldn't say that, should I? It bugs me. It puzzles me how people think about the afterlife as if there's like a set rule, you know, it's like it's mechanical. It's really not like that at all.
So you mentioned about coming back to this plane. I guess sort of reincarnation, is that like a choice that they can make, or is there certain things you have to do to be able to come back to this plane?
Yeah, so I mean, there's 15 planes, we're on the 8th one, we're slap bang in the middle, there's 7 down, 7 up. Don't know why, I have no idea. I weren't part of the decision making process when it happened, you know, I didn't get involved in that meeting, but we're slap bang in the middle, and we seem to be, from my opinion, this is my opinion, from my, well, if you want to call it research, it's not really research, yeah, my experiences, we seem to be sort of like the birthing plane. The new souls will come to this plane, you know, all the rest of it. But it's one of those things. Reincarnation, it's very rare. That, in fact, almost unheard of. You'd have to be locked away in a cupboard for your entire life not to have a negative or positive effect on the other energies or the other people in the world. You know, it's one of those things. So they're the only people who sort of reincarnate this plane to this plane. And very, you won't go, you won't live this life and then just start back over again. It just doesn't happen. You've got to up a plane, have a chance at a lifetime there. If you fuck that up, you come back again, you reincarnate. If you do all right there, you go up another plane. If you're a bit of a cunt in this plane, you know, you go down a little bit, you know, you go down a plane. And if you redeem yourself, you come back up, reincarnation. You know, you don't instantly come back into this plane. You'll go through, it's kind of like levels, if that makes sense.
So these planes, what happens in these planes? So the people that are there, they're just living the life similar to as they would on this plane? Or they're just living like a life, or is it? What do they do? What is their purpose on each plane, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, the purpose on every plane, including this one, is you've got to be able to work collectively. You've got to be able to work together. That's the goal, because when you're on the top plane, you are put in charge of other people's well-being and emotions and positive energy, whatever you want to call it, you know, and you've got to be able to be trusted with that. That's what the higher planes are. That's where you get things like spirit guide, archangels, etc., etc. So it's one of those things where, I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell you. It's like asking me, what's everyone doing in the world today? I don't know, because there's billions of spirits. I really don't know. I don't know what every single one of their purposes are. I know it's just a case of, you know, trying to help people or trying to make themselves better, trying to make their energy better. That's a common objective of every single spirit I've ever spoken to. Is, okay, I've got to work together with other people. It's one of those things. So this is why our plane, it seems to, although it's not the bottom plane, it seems to be the bottom plane, because we can't work together. We are a fucked society. No one gets along. No one likes each other. I'm guilty of it too. I can't fucking stand people. But same. It's just one of those, but yeah, it's one of those things. We are so fucked and we're out for it ourselves. But yet, if you have an idea of what actually is in the spiritual planes, it's actually, if you're the idyllic world, if you want to call it that, is on the top plane, which is, you're not responsible for your own happiness, well-being, emotions, you know, all the rest of it. Someone else is. and to be in control, and you're in charge of everyone else's, you know, not your own, is a bizarre concept, but my fucking God, does it work? It really works. And it's, you know, that's why we've got things like spirit guides who are just pure happiness, just pure positive energy. And we could have it here. It's just everyone's a cunt. So it's just one of those things. We have to deal with that. It's the hardest thing that's coming to acceptance. As someone who can go through the planes, of course I could go to the lower planes where there's like rapists and murderers and all the rest of it, you know. Do I choose to? No, of course I don't. Did I want to when I was a teenager? Yeah, of course I did. I wanted to see what it was about. I was curious. But you soon learn, hang on a second now, this ain't a way of life. And you go, and then I thought, but now, I don't get me wrong, I've got a client base of over 500,000. And it's not everyone's granddad's nice. Let's just put it that way. And you do have to go down a plane, sometimes two planes, to find their granddad's. And you sat there going, oh, yeah, no, he's around you. And in your head, you're going, you don't fucking want him to be, though, but he's around you, lovely, all right, you know. And you have to try and not sugarcoat it in so many senses, but deliver it in a way that's not going to devastate someone.
So do spirits on different planes, do they try and interact with us? Because I know they send messages and things will happen, and you read about people saying, oh, that's such and such, that must be Auntie Flo, saying hello, letting us know she's still round by us. Do they try and influence our lives to make them better?
100%, yeah, 100%. When they've got, because when you die, you've obviously got the understanding, oh, actually, this is what it's all about. Some people, well, most of the people in this plane don't. So they'll try and guide opportunities for you to be a good person or work collectively into your life. They'll try and benefit you. They'll try and heal you all the time. So, yeah, they do have a massive influence on us. But this is where people get mistaken. I think this is where the paranormal world's got so diluted with bollocks, because we're in the middle of 15 planes of existence. You're going to see something. You're going to see something move out the corner of your eye, an apparition, an orb. You're going to see something move off the side. You're going to hear a noise. You're going to hear a voice. You're going to experience it. That really don't make you psychic. That makes you alive. It makes you hear the planes intercross, you know. It's one of those things, you're going to see something, you know, experience it. But people sit there and go, oh, I saw a shadow when I was 5. I'm psychic, and talk to your dead nan. And you're like, dial it back a little bit, dickhead, because that's not how it works, you know. It's one of those things. Hang on, let me get a PayPal set up. I'll go on TikTok live and I'll charge everyone. I saw a shadow the other day, that must mean I'm psychic. You know, it's just like, calm down. Like, it's not the case at all. And what the difference, because, yeah, everyone can absolutely see, hear, you know, experience the spirit. But going to get them, going to talk to them, holding that conversation, using your energy, walking through the planes, that's a psychic. That's you know, that's the ability, you know, seeing something walk past your door is not ability, you know. And it's another thing that bugs the shit out of me. I'm empathic. They think it comes with a fucking blue badge and they can park wherever they want. You know, it's just like, it's not superpower, dickhead. Calm down. Everyone's empathic. We all connect. That's the whole point of us, because, you know, you walk into a room all the time. Oh, Dave's a bit down today. Dave's energy's a little bit off. Is it all right? You know, you sit there and go, yeah, that's empathic energy. We're all energy. Energy's meant to connect. But people use it like some kind of fucking superpower. Like they charge through a supermarket with a cape on. Like, oh, I noticed that someone's feeling down. Okay, all right, I'm empathic, calm down. Shut up, you dickhead. Just dial it back.
That's the Facebook's groups all over, some of them. So do you think that, say, some of the negative aspects, so the lower planes, try and impact? So what I'm talking about is some of the hauntings, that kind of thing. Are these spirits that are just arseholes and trying to scare people? Mm-hmm. Or are they like a trapped spirit? Or we've spoken to a lot of people, and some of these haunted places tend to be where there's been a traumatic event. So we've been speaking to people who've been investigating Gettysburg in the US, where it's obviously there's wars, lots of traumatic death, lots of anguish, that kind of thing. Does that have an impact on a location? And do they try and negatively impact you, so they haunt, scare, whatever?
the one, I think, now you find the one thing that I think the burden of being psychic is because you get to witness just how much the lower plane energy will try and affect you, and people completely unsuspecting just going about their life, you know, and there's some dickhead who died 50 years ago just ruining your life because energy charges energy. You plug your phone into a wall to get the battery charged up, energy charges energy, just like negative energy charges and makes a negative spirit a lot stronger. It's one of those things. So that induce things like depression, you know, and I put a TikTok up the other day and all these minges come out of the woodwork going, oh, well, you're dismissing mental health. I'm sort of going, no, listen, I'm not saying mental health doesn't exist. I'm just saying if a negative spirit sees you with depression, anxiety, whatever, they will absolutely hone in on that and make that 10 times worse for you. Just because when you're sat there anxious, when you're sat there depressed, when you're sat there angry, you're emitting negative energy and they are lapping it up like a bowl of Cheerios. It's one of those things. Negative location. So, you know, haunted location, sorry. Yeah, but there's different types of spirits, you know, things like residual energy, which I'm sure you guys have heard of, you know, that tends to be your place, like Auschwitz and all the rest of it. You know, it's just a mass of negative energy that's just locked there. Not a nice feeling. So, but on the other hand, there's also massively positive places as well. Going to a festival is just heaven for a psychic. It's just heaven. Everyone off their nut, just enjoying and loving each other. That's the goal.
We talk a lot to people that have experienced poltergeist activity. What's your take on poltergeists? What do you think they are?
See, this is the thing. Poltergeists, I mean, let's face it, a lot of people get a bit confused. I mean, I know what I'll do if I become invisible for the day, you know, and that's certainly going to fuck up some shit, you know, it's one of those things. And if there's someone who's pissed me off, I'm damn straight smashing their plates across the room. It's one of those things. But poltergeists, yeah, there are such things as poltergeists, but I mean, the only way I can describe it is that a poltergeist will assume that identity. You know, it's a negative energy, it's not great energy, don't get me wrong, but I'll assume that, and they'll take on that identity, much like, you know, like you know, we take on identities like emos and goths and Christ knows what else nowadays. You know, it's just the same as a poltergeist. It's a dickhead who wants to fuck up shit. It's one of those things. But yeah, they do have the capability of really badly hurting you because they've got their mindset. They're just a little bit unhinged. You know, it's one of those things. It takes a certain kind of person to die and go, do you know what I want to do in the afterlife? Break stuff. Kill people, hurt people. You know, they're not nice people, so they are a little bit unhinged. But yeah, I mean, no one sort of dies and gets, oh hang on a second, I've drawn the short straw and I've become a poltergeist. I'm dead, gone down a plane or two, I'm gonna fuck shit up. It's one of those things.
Fair enough.
Look, can spirits on the different planes sort of see and interact with the other planes then? Or is it just sort of our plane where there's sort of the more living souls are?
Yeah, so I mean they certainly can. There's such things as psychic spirits as well, which is a bit bizarre, so they can go through the planes as well. Yeah, they can certainly interact with each other. They can certainly interact. Some can, some can't. There's others that will just, I'm not sure, I personally don't know, but I'm not sure if it's a case of they can't or they don't want to. You know, I don't actually know the answer to that question, but they certainly can go through the planes. I know that they're able to do that. Some choose not to.
So recently, so we talk about TikTok being a big thing. Recently in the mainstream media, there's been a lot of talk around haunted objects, specifically dolls. And there's an account that follows us on Instagram where this woman just sells haunted dolls. And I read all this, the feedback is interesting to say the least. How she manages to have all these haunted objects. What is your take on haunted objects? Can specific objects like dolls be haunted or have an energy? And what makes an object haunted?
Yeah, they most certainly can as well. And you'll find, and I'm not discrediting anyone, but anyone who's had a mass number of haunted dolls, you do have to question and sit and go, oh, how did you own so many? And are they actually haunted, or are they just a creepy fucking doll and you're palming it off? Not that I'm discrediting it, but they always seem to be dolls.
I'm quite happy to. I'm quite happy to. This woman's, she probably doesn't follow this podcast, so I can.
Just bizarre, isn't it? But yeah, certain things can be haunted. Of course they can. Yep. And the first thing I get called out, I'm all over the country investigating people's houses for ghosts and spirits. And one of the first questions I'll ask someone is, what's new in your house? Is anything secondhand? Because it's one of those things. People row, people are much like negative residue energy, you know, people row, say a divorce house or something, for example, and they're splitting furniture, they've spent 2 years rowing each other and sleeping in separate rooms, you know, that kind of thing. All of a sudden they're selling that sofa from divorce house and you put it in your living room. That's just a sponge of negative energy that's now, oh, okay, I'm in a positively driven environments. Now I can let go of all this negative energy, but that negative energy now goes into your house. So yeah, things definitely can absorb energy. Haunted vessels, yeah, they can. They can attach themselves. I wouldn't say go into it, but they can attach themselves to it, most certainly. But probably take, in my experience, you know, rarely is it a haunted doll. In fact, I don't think I've ever come across one, in all fairness. But, you know, probably take what they say with a pinch of salt, in all fairness.
So you talked then about doing investigations in people's homes and in at locations. What sort of experiments do you do? Do you do technological experiments, or is it just sort of you talking to whom, maybe in the, maybe there?
Yeah, so we do everything. We do absolutely everything. I mean, I've got a team of 10, and I train each and every one of them myself. They're not all psychics. I think I've got 4 psychics now. You know, and you'll see that in my pack, I have a psychic officer, as I call it, because we dress like officers. We are like an emergency services of paranormal. That's just the identity we've adapted. But we'll have a psychic officer and we'll have a paranormal officer because they work together. And that's the idea. It is all well and good me walking into the house and going, oh, Doris is here, your granddad's there, Dave's here. Unless I've got an EMF, K2, you know, EVP, all the rest of it backing me up, I could be charging whatever the fuck I want, going into anyone's house and going, yeah, there's a ghost, or no, there's no ghost, drop down, let's go get a pint. You know, it's one of those things. It's got to be backed up. We do all kinds of experiments, technology experiments, like your EVPs, Alice boxes, SLSs, all the rest of it, you know, down to the old school boards, Ouija boards, and, you know, table tipping, all the rest of it. We just do everything, absolutely everything, to make sure that we haven't left anything there or nothing's hiding from a psychic there.
So which particular experiment do you find the most useful at providing evidence? So Ash lives in Manchester, I live down in Oxfordshire, so we're like 5 hours apart, and we've used the Estes method with the spirit box remotely via Zoom, like we're having a conversation now, and we've had some good experiences. We met up in a haunted location and we found that gave some incredible responses, gave names, all sorts of stuff. Is there one particular experiment that you find gives more positive evidence for the paranormal than anything else?
I guess I'm a little bit biased on this, because as a psychic, I don't need the evidence. You know, it's one of those things. The most effective thing for me is I'll sit there with a board or a box. You know, the team will be cracking on. I can see the ghost. I can see the spirit there. I can hear what they're saying. So I'm just writing it down, and then I'll wait, and then they'll write. The box will come out the word that I've written down, or the board will spell out that kind of thing. I'm like, fucking hell, we have to hurry this up because I've had this conversation 5 minutes ago. Can you crack on a little bit, please? So there's one of those things. It's Ascent Step's really effective. This is what I use. I put on Ghost Hunts as well, so other people do it, but a sensory deprivation, headphones and eye mask with a spirit box, always scares the guests. It's just one of those things. Come along to my home, they put a blindfold on in the middle of a band of building or forest or whatever, you know, they're scared shitless, they're stammering out words. I've had the conversation 5 minutes ago, and then all the guests around them are going, oh my god, it's you know, it's those kind of things I feel have the best results for probably someone who's a bit naive to the spiritual world, or see it as more of like an entertainment type of thing, those kind of things. I mean, I probably wouldn't be the best person to answer that, because I've just talked to them.
So do you physically, like, do you see the spirits?
Yeah.
I'm interested to see them. You see them, you hear them. Do you sort of like get a sense of, even before they've asked or told you stuff, do you get a sense of what they've passed over as a result of, or?
Yeah, so the first, the first thing you'll do is you'll feel a spirit. You'll feel it first, and I'll be sat there watching Wentworth on a telly or something along those lines. I was like, oh, here we go, you know, and you just, not in a nasty way, but you know that that someone's just died, so they're probably going to need a lot of your time and attention. And I call it raising vibrations to my missus. I'll sit there, plug some AirPods in, and I'm in the spirit world, and I'm like, okay, what can I do? Can I help you? Blah, blah, blah. So I feel them first, you know, that kind of thing. It does take some time. But this is the thing that blows my fucking mind as well, that also makes me dick itch when people go, I'm clairsentient, clairaudient. I fucking exist. You're just experiencing a fucking spirit. It's not a superpower. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just, of course, you're going to see, hear, experience. A genuine psychic sees them. They're just people where you see, you hear, you talk to them, just like I'm doing to you guys now. Probably not over Zoom. I've never had a spirit Zoom me, though. But, you know, that kind of thing.
Not yet.
Yeah, that'll be the day. 2022, for Christ's sake. But it's one of those things you see, you hear them just like any other person.
So I want to go sort of back to the investigation, because I've seen any TikTok. I've never seen it before, and it quite surprised me, to be honest, was you have handcuffs mm-hmm. that you use on investigations and stuff. So just why do you have handcuffs?
It's a common question I get asked. People see it all the time, because I've seen possessions. I've seen them, and I don't give a shit how long I've been psychic for. There's not a single time I'll see a possession that don't scare me to my fucking core. You know, it's not a nice thing to see. And the only thing I can, and you see them, and the only thing I can relate it to even slightly is, I don't know if anyone's ever seen someone have an epileptic seizure. And not that they're shaking violently, but they're so vacant. They're so out of control. Their capacity, mental capacity is gone. You know they're in there and they're not responding to you. It fucking scares the shit out of me. I'm not going to lie about it. And we'll see that when you've been doing it for this long, when you're psychic, you know, because even if you're psychic, you don't see a possession coming. You don't see it coming. There's no like, oh, hang on, you're about to get possessed. You know, it's just fucking hell, Dave's gone. Like, and you'll see, you learn little telltale signs, like their hands will straighten out and you're like, okay, all right, this is what's going to happen. And I don't know why it does that. I really don't know why they do that. But I think it's probably because they're probably tensing up their muscles. But that is purely speculation. I don't know. And they'll try and hurt themselves, and they'll try and hurt me or whoever's on the team, or they'll, you know, if a spirit that wants to take over someone's body is never going to just tickle someone, are they? You know, it's someone that's going to want to fucking hurt you. And they do really try to hurt you. And in the moment, you sit there and you go, all right, because you know that your friend ain't, or whoever's it, you're being possessed, you know they're not there. But you know you can't punch them in the face at the same time. You know, it's one of those things, because when someone's trying to attack you, your instincts to attack back, your instincts want to just left hook them and just put them on and try and get away from it. But you can't do that, because that's your best mate on the floor, or that's your team member, that's your backup on the floor. And then, you know, so cuffs are just, we carry cuffs, purely legal, 100% legal. I've checked it 100%. I work with police as well on paranormal investigations, so I know most of our fucking team is police. And personally, I don't have the biggest... I'm not the biggest fan of police, let's just put it that way, from my upbringing. But it's more of a case of most of my team are police, and it's perfectly legal to carry cuffs. But it's one of those moments. The first possession I ever saw was, it's not my first actually, but it was probably one of my most scariest, was at Borley Rectory. And everyone's heard of Borley Rectory, and I thought, it's just shit. And tell me mate screaming, trying to claw his own throat out and trying to gouge his eyes out. And you're like, fuck. It's a bit much, that. And then what can you do? You're trying to grab them, but then you're getting hurt. And it goes on for ages. And it could be like 30 seconds, but it feels like a fucking lifetime. And you're like, how do I get this? But like, what can I do? Because I can't possess someone. Psychobilly don't possess someone. You try and do some cleansing. You try and do Wiccan pagan cleansing. You try and latch onto that spiritual energy inside, like I would do a reading and try and pull them away. You're powerless. And it's horrific. It's horrific, and I've seen it happen too many times. But the cuffs are just there because we see a telltale sign, and we'll always go, look, actually, do you know what? And someone was like, I'm feeling funny. I'm like, can we just slip these cuffs on you, just in case you do go? It's just going to limit them, and we could probably sit you up against a tree or chair, whatever, and then we'll get, you know, Shelley in to do a ritual, or I'll try and latch on. And it just gives us a bit of an advantage on dealing with a possession. In all fairness, I don't remember the last time I've used the cuffs. I don't remember the last time, thank God, but they are there. My whole team carry it. If I get possessed, that we're all fucked. So it's one of those things. So all my team carry cuffs as well, and I'm more than prepared to be thrown on the ground and cuffed as well. So it's one of those things.
Wow. So you talked about Borley Rectory. Is there any other locations that you've been to and you've gone, wow, this is alive, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, so everyone just sees it as such a mild location, but any genuine psychic going into Misley Woods will absolutely know it is a haven. It is, it's both sides of the coin, because you've got Matthew Hopkins and John Stern and all the rest of them running around that woods, tormenting the spirits of women who are bound there, bound there. And then you've also got the innocent, Matthew Hopkins is the Witchfinder General, started all the witch hunts in 1600s in around this East Anglia. He owns the Thorn in Misley, which is a hotel now, a pub still standing. And Old Knobley, I don't know if anyone's heard of Old Knobley, but it's the oldest tree in Europe or something along those lines. Pagans still use it to this day for little rituals and stuff, but it was massively used in the 1600s. Thing is, Matthew Hopkins lived 100 yards away from it, so these witches would go to this tree, do whatever they were doing, and then Matthew Hopkins comes up and he would just chase down these women and do fucking horrific things to them, you know. So you've got both sides of the coin there. Matthew Hopkins, who really nasty bit of work, and then, you know, all the women that are there as well, who are just like just innocent little women. So it's one of, as a psychic point of view, it's probably you're not bored at Misty Woods, that's for sure.
Put that on the to-do list then, Ash.
Yeah, I'm down there in about 30 days, guys. There's tickets to my hunt if you want to come down.
Oh, there we go. Well, you never know. Yeah, so we went up to Cannock Chase, and we went into the woods at Cannock Chase, because there's been some cryptids spotted. We had some strange things happen. We set up a camera just to take photos of what was going on. The camera went off, but no photo was taken. That was one of the things. Ash had seen something in the distance, so I walked over that way to try and find where it was, and I didn't know where he was pointing. I stopped in the exact location that he was talking about. And then we went to this castle ring, which is where there's been black-eyed children spotted, all manner of UFOs, all sorts happening. And I go on paranormal investigations and have been on loads. And that was the one place that I felt that I didn't want to be. And we all said that, there was three of us there. And we're like, we need to get out of here. Something's just telling us to go. And we'd had spirit box session, and it said names, it talked about names of previous guests that we'd had on the podcast, and it was just like, right, let's get out of here. So Misley Woods is another one that we need to put on the list to go down and see. So what is the future for you? So you've got TikTok, and you're clearly taking over TikTok, it looks like, with the number of followers you've got. What is the sort of future for you?
Well, I can't go into too much detail, pardon me, but I've just finished filming my own, that's with a team. I keep calling it my own show, it's not my own show. That's just my ego talking. I've just finished filming a TV series for Discovery and Really Channel, which is due to air very soon. I'm in talks with producers for other shows as well. I'm very fortunate within my lifestyle to be able to now go and work passion projects. So I'm probably going to be taking a mild step back from readings and investigations and probably going into TV work alongside my readings. I think I've been doing it for so long, I'll probably be doing it when I'm 78 years old. I just love it. I love my clients. I love the spirits that come to me every day. I love the fact that I go into my office and I just don't know what's going to come through. It's just mental every day. So it's probably a little bit of TV work and then see what's going on there, really. But I don't really know. But I'm very fortunate. I live a very blessed lifestyle. So I could do whatever I want, but it's one of those things where I've quite liked filming my own show, as you can imagine. So I'll see where that goes. But if it doesn't go anywhere, I'm still happy where I am at the moment. But that's probably where I'll be looking towards heading.
Cool.
Your website says that you've been a spiritual advisor to some of Hollywood's elite. Is there any names you can give us
Can't talk about that. Sign contracts, can't talk about that.
Sorry. I thought I might have been a case by accident.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. I'll get sued. I don't want to get sued. The thing is, a psychic's basically another term for a counsellor, isn't it, in all fairness? And it's people come to me with all kinds of problems. And when you need a spiritual advisor, it's never because your life's going amazing, is it? So I've had some big names come to me. And some, but when that started happening, about 6 years ago, I don't know, I was sat there, reading tarot cards, was ultimately starstruck, you know, like, and then they're confiding in me, telling me all these details, and you're like, fucking hell. But yeah, so one of the things I offer any celebrity client is, you know, whatever you tell me is completely between me and you. You don't have to tell anyone that you come to me, you know, which is kind of cutting off my nose to spite my face a little bit, because I'd probably be working in some bigger circles if they talk about me a little bit, but there we go. But no, I can't unfortunately tell you any details.
So you say that people come to you for these readings. Are they necessarily after information on loved ones that have passed, or are they after some kind of positive affirmation that they're doing the right thing in life, or do they come to you for direction?
Everything. And you know what? I'm fully aware that I'm a bit of a loudmouth Essex boy, fully aware of it, a bit of a dickhead, I don't care. And it's one of those things, that's who I am. But inside of me, there is a massive heart. And people come to me all the time, and the stuff that I can't even comprehend going through. And they want answers, they want guidance, they want comfort, they want every aspect of their problems kind of solved. The thing that I make it clear to any of my client is my cards are not magic cards, they're not miracle cards. If you haven't got a womb and you're coming to me for fertility reading, hoping that these cards are going to tell you you're going to have a baby, they're not going to tell you you're going to have a baby. They're going to say you're not going to have children. It's one of those, they're not miracle cards. They don't change the future. They tell you the future. So people come to me with all kinds of stuff. I mean, I had a guy the other day, this has stuck with me, and I really don't know why it stuck with me, but it was this guy who was, he was gay from Ireland, and he was, he basically was with someone, and they were arranging a surrogacy, the baby coming to fruition. The surrogate went through with it, but his partner was cheating on him the whole time. And then when the baby was born, completely just fucking outed him, and like raised it with the bloke he was cheating on it with for the last 2 years. And this poor bastard come to me. He's been going through legal battles for years, just trying to be part of this baby's life. And because he's got no rights, because it's Ireland and it's surrogacy, there's fuck all they can do. And he's got to rely on this, in my opinion, I don't give a shit, this prick who cheated on him, absolute fucking waste of space human being who cheated on him, rely on him, go, yeah, all right, you can see your son, do you know what I mean? Or, you know, that kind of thing. And it just breaks your heart, because you sit there and you get invested in these readings. You really do. They'll come to me and I'll be sitting there and I always say, oh, I can see this, I can see that. And they're like, you're dead on the money, Jesse, because I always fucking am. You know, and they're like, and then this is a bit of context on that situation. And you're like, fucking hell. So they come to me for all sorts, absolutely all sorts. Some of them just want a bit of closure. I had a woman, funny enough, I connect with my clients on quite a deep level. And some of them have been regular viewers, and I've just kind of made it a little bit of a mission that me and my partner will go all over the country now and just try and meet these people now. And I had a woman who I'm going to meet in a couple of weeks, actually, and she was sexually assaulted for all her childhood by a relative, and she wanted to talk to the relative who died to get closure. And when you connect to a spirit, it's like holding their hand, it's like giving them a cuddle. You are that close to them, you know, your energy's on them. It's like basically really intimate. They could might as well be fucking inside of you, you know. It's one of those things. Having a nonce connected to you, you know, it's not a nice fucking experience. And this woman just looked at me and she was like, is he sorry? And we have spiritual law, we can't lie. We can't influence a reading, we have to say. And I had to say, no, he's not. And it was just, in this moment, looking at this woman who was on the other end of the camera as well, you know, it's not as if she was sat next to me so I can give her a fucking cuddle at the end of it. And she was like, I needed to hear that. because that's just the closure that I needed on it. And yeah, now she's writing a book, and you know, she's come through the other side. She's a fucking survivor. I've got nothing but admiration for her. But you know, they come to me for all sorts. They come to me for everything, and there's nothing that I won't do. You know, there's nothing. Like, if you want to talk to your sexual assaulter, you know, whoever that is, you know, I'll fucking sit there and help you get that closure. If you want to say goodbye to your granddad because you didn't make it to hospital in time, we're fucking doing that too. You know, it's whatever you need from me is what I'll do.
Now, you just touched on a couple of words that I've seen in the past as well, and you talked just about spiritual law. Could you explain a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, it's the biggest thing that these fucking fake psychics fuck up on. They haven't got a clue about it. And the only place you learn spiritual law is being psychic and talking to spirits. It's not a free-for-all. We're not God. We're not all-knowing. We don't fucking perform miracles. We can't turn water into wine. Trust me, I'd probably be real if we could. It's one of those things. We have rules that we have to abide by. There's limitations to the ability. You know, and they go, oh, just because you can't. I'm like, fuck off, you knobhead. You know what I mean? I've been a psychic me for 27 fucking years. There's not much I can't do. But yeah, there's laws that you have to abide by as a psychic. We can't talk to our own loved ones. You know, okay. We can't. It's just, it's one of the heartbreaking things about being psychic, but we can't talk to like people that we care about, loved ones either, because there's no such thing as life and death then. People have to die, people have to be alive. And if my mum died, I know, and I could go and talk to her, guess where I'd fucking be? I'd be in the spirit world all the time, which means she's essentially not dead because she can still go and talk to a living person, and I'm not alive because I'm in the spirit world. So there has to be that separation. And to do that, they could be right next to me. I wouldn't see them. They could be slapping me around the face. I wouldn't feel it. My loved ones don't come through. And no genuine psychic can talk to their loved ones because of spiritual law. There's loads of different fucking ones. We can't lie. Isn't that another thing? We have to say everything that comes through. Like, obviously, within reason, we can change the wording. We don't have to fucking repeat it like a robot. But, you know, we have to say good and bad. And I'll always, if someone asks me a bit of a difficult question that I probably wouldn't like the answer to myself, if I was on the receiving end of a reading, I'd say, do you want to know the answer to that? Because I have to tell you. So I ask that question with caution because I have to tell you. So we can't lie to anyone just in life. We can't sit there and bullshit because we get penalized as well. Random messages is another thing. Can't do it. You can do it, but you get fucking massively penalized. Walking up to someone in the street saying your dad who died last week, or for example, you know, your husband who's married to you for 30 years, you know, you can't, you know, you never pictured a life without him and you're struggling to survive, now he's dead. He says he's all right and he's alive, and he's all right and he's around you. What do you think that woman's going to do? You know, oh, there is an afterlife. I can go be with my husband. So we'd influence life and death because we could influence someone to not be alive, if that makes sense. They could do stupid things. Giving random messages to complete strangers, we get them. Can't say them, though. Can't say them. Otherwise, we get massively penalised. You'll sit there, you'll try. I've been penalised a couple of times when I've fucked up, especially in my early days. And you sit there and you're trying to connect with someone or a spirit or something like that. And you're like, fucking hell, I'm knackered. Like, it's like running a marathon in 3 seconds. Or you'll sit there and you're like, I know this person's here, but I can't connect with them. You know, it's you just lose, it's kind of like your ability gets kind of like, fucking watch it, otherwise we'll take this away. There's a bit of a warning.
One last question from me, sort of relating to that, is why you? Why do you think that you were given this sort of ability from being young?
I have no fucking idea. And I question it too, because I get to speak to the spirits and I sit there and go, why did you give some gobshite Essex boy fucking psychic ability? Because if I was sat there with a lineup of people, well, I fucking wouldn't choose me. I've no idea why they chose me. I've no idea. Really don't know. Have no idea. I like it, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that I have the psychic ability. I treasure it. I love it like it's like a child of mine. But fuck knows why they gave it to me.
Fair. Brilliant. Okay, so where can people find you, find your website, and find out more about getting in touch with you?
Sure. So I've actually streamlined my social media because there's just so many platforms now. It's just one of those things. So TikTok, The Paranormal Emporium, Instagram, The Paranormal Emporium, or my website, www.theparanormalemporium.com. You can find me on my website, get in touch with me. I will say none of my social medias is managed by me. So it's I've got a management team who all that. So if you want to get in touch, you'll be talking to a management team, but you can book any reading or ghost hunt or anything along those lines on my website, or you can come and have a little chat with me on a live, on a TikTok live. Watch out for the spelling of the Paranormal Emporium, because there's a lot of fake accounts trying to con people.
I found that when I went looking. I was like, none of these like have enough followers to be here. It's like, there's tons and tons of them I was scrolling through.
Yeah, do you know,
all the same picture, same sort of variation on.
Oh, they're very clever. They're very good and dedicated, in all fairness. But you'll notice, because I don't follow people back, so they'll pay for Instagram thousands of followers and it looks legit. But you'll notice that they also follow thousands of people, and that's because they're messaging going, I'm drawn to you. I don't message people ever saying that I'm drawn to you because of spiritual law. And I don't follow anyone because I'm antisocial. So just look for if that follow count's very low, that's me.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jesse, for coming on, chatting to us. It's been fascinating. Yeah.
Thank you. You're more than welcome, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Cheers.
Pursuit of the Paranormal with Ash and Greg.